Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Candid Rank Live Show, Hot Talk Edition. With Frank Senishi. And Pat Lang. Call in. Let's talk hockey.
Yeah!
Oh! Get out of the way of my Zamboni! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the program. Of course, you're listening to Candid Frank Live, and this is the Puck Talk edition with Pat Legs. Just a couple of items. We're here in Myrtle Beach, and the weather has been windy, to say the least, and it's upwards of 60 miles an hour, and the temperature, of course, not balmy for this neighborhood, but if 51 degrees was what was at where I live normally, namely Mississauga, Toronto, the Northern Hemisphere, or the northern part of North America, it would be balmy, to say the least. And we've walked in rain. It isn't too bad, but the wind has been a real test of our willingness to go out and enjoy the outdoors. One thing's for sure, I'm not going to swing a golf club with that kind of weather because I'll get hit in the head with the ball no matter how hard I hit it forward. You know, it's been that kind of a day so far. We're looking forward to 75 degrees tomorrow. Not quite hockey weather, but we are going to talk hockey. Well, it will be hockey weather for teams like the Maple Leafs, Vancouver Canucks, the Winnipeg Jets, the Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, the Ottawa Senators. You know, all but one team in Canada will not be in the playoffs if the picture has been painted already. And right now, all that's left is for the paint dry on the Leaf season, and it won't take long for that paint to dry because they're getting well out of the hunt. When you consider that they lost 8 games in a row, and there's still 2 points, and they played too many games behind, so it is what it is. The National Hockey League isn't a Canadian-friendly league. It is anti-Canadian by virtue of all one has to do is like that midget guy, the actor, Tom Cruise, that short actor, Tom Cruise, isn't that him? He said, show me the money. Well, just take a look at the results, fellow Canadians. The National Hockey League is not friendly to the Canadian cities. Not only do they reject us as having teams like in Hamilton and or Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Quebec, they also deny us teams in the playoffs. And some would suggest, Frank, there's no conspiracy. Well, there may not be a conspiracy, but the result is there. And if one's going to assume that a country that can put together an Olympic championship as they did a few short months ago, back in February, one has to wonder what it takes and what kind of intelligence it takes in Canada to have a winning hockey team. God bless Montreal, who are in the playoffs. Fortunately for Montreal hockey fans, they have the intestinal fortitude to demand a winner, and they won't put up with anything less. Not so much in every other Canadian city. In every other Canadian city led by the Toronto Maple Leafs, losing is widely acceptable. In fact, it's expected. So, you know, as far as hockey is concerned in Canada, we only care about the regular season. We don't want any participation in the playoffs. That gets in the way of our basketball viewing. and other stuff like that, you know, or baseball. Yeah, you know, in the Toronto, I mean, why have the Leafs in the playoffs? Then we'll, you know, we'll miss when the Blue Jays are in this, you know, are in the hunt for a playoff spot. The Leafs hung around till the Stanley Cup, then we'd have to start watching the Jays while they're already out of a playoff spot. So either way you look at it, it's a very depressing time for Canadian hockey fans. That is my opinion. Now, that is why Canadian hockey fans, many of them, take to loyalty to American teams. Is there a problem with being loyal to an American team? Well, if you've got nothing worth being loyal to where you are, of course you can be loyal to a team outside of your country. But it is kind of sad that we don't get to see the playoffs played in Canada. We'll see Montreal, and hopefully Montreal does like what Ottawa did and maybe wins the series, you know, in the playoffs, so that we can have at least one out of eight teams be Canadian. But we know that when it gets down to the last four teams, there won't be a Canadian team, as there hasn't been in many, 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 many years. The only time Canadian teams have poked their head up have been the Edmonton Oilers back in the day when that guy who is suffering from a concussion not playing for Philadelphia, wanted out. And that was the beginning and the end of the Edmonton Oilers, where the impression that nobody wants to play in Canada of any kind of talent, well, you know, just look at the facts. The fact is the only player that played for Team Canada, was the goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens, Mr. Price. And he was full value for his goaltending. And also, they sent him back to Montreal hurt, which, again, speaks well to being a Canadian National Hockey League team. So, yeah, so they had two other players. One was Luongo, who went from being a Canuck to a Miami Panther, or should I say Florida Panther. And then a young defenseman that plays for Montreal that, you know, likes to tug on his sweater, make fun of Leaf fans, and then have it spit back in his face. All right, so as I said, you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. My name is Frank Stanishi, and joining me as always is Mr. NHLNFA, and his name is Pat Legs. And Pat, once again, welcome to the program, and good to have you on.
What's going on, Frank?
Nothing. You know, I just went on my little Canadian tirade where, you know, I just don't think it's very appropriate to be a Canadian NHL fan, because it's not worth it.
The teams are not doing well. That's, you know, the understatement of the year. You know, look at we could just look at Toronto as an example. You know, I know some of my listeners and some of my U.S. listeners say, you know, you're a little bit, you know, too much Toronto talk, but they are the story right now. You know, they lost their eighth game in a row, with Detroit winning tonight, and I think they still have a game in hand. You know, it's pretty much another year where the wheels have fallen off the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, yes, they're still close to a playoff spot, 2 points. But the chances of them now, they have to jump three teams to get into a playoff spot. Their chances are not looking good.
I think they should take a stick of dynamite and blow the whole thing up. And the reason I say this is because they should go for the lottery. Connor McDavid's up for grabs next year. Not this year, next year.
Yeah.
That'll be the, is it 2015? No, 2000. No, is he available for the 2015? I think it's 2016 draft he's available for.
Yeah. Not
regardless,
this, not
anyway,
this draft,
they might as well just
the
blow it up
one.
And go for that kid. Go for that kid. See if they can get that kid. And let's have a couple of star players in Canada. We don't have many star players in Canada. The best player in Canada right now is Kessel, other than goaltenders. I mean, who's better than Kessel in Canada and the Canadian team?
Nobody right now. Nobody right now playing on a Canadian team, I think, is better. Yes, Oilers have some really good young studs. They haven't really developed.
They have too many.
Yeah. They have too many of the same type of players. That's their problem with the with the Oilers. And they have not drafted well. You know, you have to get picks in your second round and third rounds that can play hockey, and they're not drafting well at all. But in Toronto, Leaf fans once again are, you know, freaking out. you know, calling the team an embarrassment, and they pretty much are. And I agree, they need to blow up. It's hard to blow up a team because there's just, you know, contracts and term and money and salary cap system. But this front office has to be cleaned out. This culture of losing, the culture of this is what, three times in 5 years where there's a complete meltdown, and you have pretty much have the same group that have been a part of this whole disaster. And, you know, I agree with a lot of Leaf fans. I agree with what you're saying. Let's blow this team up and let's start going for drafts. But when you got guys like Phaneuf, whose next year's deal is going to kick in, $7.5 million. Kessel, whose deal just kicked in, but you could probably deal. You got Clarkson locked up for 7 years at $5.5-6 million. You got a third line center playing number one, paying him like a number one, two at the Bozak, 4.5 for 4 or 5 years. It's tough to unload these contracts. So they're pretty much stuck in the middle of mediocrity. The only good thing I could say to Leaf fans is that Tim Leiwicki is not going to stand still when they miss the playoffs, because there's, you know, a lot of Leaf fans say, oh, we're only 2 points back. We still can get in. We get on a run. We're not, the Leafs are not getting into a playoff spot. They're out and they're not going to get back in. I haven't seen any compete level, any desperation level from this team, any heart, any character, any leadership to step up and say, we need a win tonight, or we need to battle hard to at least get that loser point so we stay in this race. And there's just nothing from this team. So you're not going to blow this team up unless they shake up this front office and bring it a new culture.
Oh, but
of winning,
that's what I mean. That's what I mean by blowing
winning,
up the team, because
oh, you know,
can't, Pat. You can't. Like you said, you're 100% right. You can't. You know, you can move the deck chairs around. That being the players.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now the deck chairs, a few of them are screwed to the deck, you know. So, you know, they're not going nowhere.
Well,
never mind. But the fact remains, by that I mean they're fastened to the deck. I didn't mean it as an insult.
No,
I meant there's a couple
is.
Of deck chairs. You mentioned
an
Phaneuf and Kessel. These guys are and Bozak and a few Phaneuf. They're on long-term deals, which basically is a deck chair screwed to the deck. So you can change the deck chairs around. But unfortunately, some of them are going to have to stay on that deck, you know. And there's nothing, you know, let me make this clear. There is nothing wrong with any of these players individually. Let's make this point clear, the point that I want to make, which is individually, these players individually would fit on any other Stanley Cup contender. The problem isn't the players they have. It is the balance that the players are. I don't know. They just, the chemistry isn't there. And like you said about Edmonton, they brought in too many players that are the same. Well, I'm not sure that they're players that are the same, but they are players that they're casting into the same mold. And that's where the team comes in. I'm a firm believer that 50% of a player is the player. The other 50% is what the organization does to help that player understand how he can do his part to make the team a winner. And in Toronto, they don't know how to tell players how to become a winner. In fact, or to teach them how to become a winner. Now, remember, this is the important part. You don't teach them with their weaknesses. You don't take their weaknesses and go, okay, forget your strengths. We're going to go with your weaknesses, and we're going to try and improve your weaknesses.
Yep.
F that. Forget that. That's old school,
right,
man. The new
right
school
on,
is...
Frank, right on the head. You hit it right on the head with that.
Yep. You got to take the players for what they've got. Not teach them, but to enhance their ability and their talents, right? To enhance their talents. The era of creating talent never existed anyway in the first place. Where people get this idea that a coach like Carlisle or any other coach in the league can develop a system that the players can play and they can win. Baloney. That's baloney. It's never been true. In fact, you can go all the way back for you Leaf fans to Roger Neilson, who was known as Captain Video. The reason he was known as Captain Video, he watched the other teams. And by the way, folks, he watched his own team. And he saw what they did that was good. and he saw what the other team did that was good, and he worked on ensuring that he exposed the bad that he saw from the other team and eliminated the bad on his team. And that's what defense is. Defense is not making mistakes. It doesn't matter where you make the mistake. It's always a defensive mistake, because whenever you turn the puck over or you turn the ball over or you throw an interception, it's all the same in every sport. When you change possession at a crucial time, it leads to an excellent opportunity for the opposition. So the Leaf organization does not know how to win. They've shown it to us one more time. You know, it's a freaking sport.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head, Frank. This is the problem that is in Toronto. And, you know, I've pulled Leaf fans from the start of the season. Randy Carlyle does not coach to the player's strengths. He coaches old-style hockey where you're going to play his system. It doesn't matter what your strengths are. It doesn't matter what you do well. And we've seen, you know, let's just go to Detroit this year and see what a proper, qualified, top-notch NHL coach can do for a team when he coaches to the player's strengths. Detroit, nobody's picked this team to make the playoffs again this year. When it was coming down the stretch and they looked like they were out of it, if Toronto would have beat them that game, they would have buried Detroit. But once again, Babcock finds the strengths within his players and coaches to the player's strengths. You know, I talk to a lot of, you know, different coaches and ex-coaches and ex-GMs, and they all say the same thing. 95% of the systems that all the teams play are pretty much identical. There's very small percentage that is different. So what's different? What's different is exactly what you said, right? Can a coach in the new NHL coach to the player's strength and get that old mentality out? And Detroit, Babcock has done it once again. They won again today, and look at them. 84 points. They're going to make the playoffs this year. When really, with 11 regulars out, Datsyuk, Zetterberg, you know, pretty much done the last month, he finds a way to get this team into the playoffs once again. And what is the difference? It's coaching. Coaching to the player's strengths. Coaching to the player's strengths, not the player's weaknesses like it is in Toronto.
Well, it's always coaching,
Pat. You know, because people call me crazy, Frank. People called me crazy. They said, what's wrong with you? Carlisle got us into the playoffs. This guy's unbelievable. I said, this is going to come back. Don't let the shortened season fool you. I said, look at the Islanders. The Islanders made the playoffs. Doesn't mean they're a fantastic playoff team every year. Don't get fooled by that. And that's what happened, you know? That's the end of the Leafs, anyways. The end of the Leafs playoff chances.
You ever play Jenga? Have you ever played Jenga?
No.
No? Do you know what the game is?
Yeah, the one where you pull the wood pieces out?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's exactly what the game is.
Yeah.
And hockey and sports in general is just like Jenga. There you go, you have a team. Now, as far as this is on the side, I'm going to call it the Jenga is the trade part of the team. You know, a lot of times it's not as much about who you get. It's who you let go. You know, in fact, a lot of people say things like you'll hear through after a season and a team has a great year and they go, can you imagine they were thinking of trading that guy back in December? Look at him now. You know, a lot of times the best trades are the ones you don't make. You know, a lot of times the best trades you make are the ones you don't make. And the reason is that you're fooling with chemistry. And I happen to think that or you lose guys, you let guys go in free agency. The Islanders let go a key defenseman. Jenga, it was the wrong piece, and that whole team went crushing down. And Philadelphia has benefited from the move they made in stealing the best player, the captain of the New York Islanders. It's no surprise to me that they fell apart. Yeah. Now, with the Leafs, the problem with the Leafs is, it seems to me that you know, Carlisle on his own is playing Jenga and eliminating players, but they're still on the team. You know, that's the unfortunate thing. I'm seeing too much regression in the players, individual players. Obviously, the team is a group. But individually, guys like Lupul should have had a better year. Guys like Phaneuf and then you look at their Tigers. Defense. You look at their defense. Their defensemen were better at the beginning of the year than they are now. They've made literally negative progress, and by that I mean they've gone backwards.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they complain on defense for guys that they signed that they were satisfied with that they brought into camp. So why are these players all of a sudden not good enough? Well, because Carlisle said they weren't. And you bring in another defenseman and you already have eight or nine in the group. Bad move. Why haven't the players who they have played better? Well, unfortunately, I've come to agree with you, and I have to lay it at Carlisle's door. And he's done a terrible job of turning off players and taking players who were playing well before, and now they look useless.
Yep.
They look like pylons on defense. Is it because they brought in a guy from the Carolina Panthers? Is it because Carlisle is playing too many young players? Two of the young defensemen and not showing faith in the veterans? You know, these are all facts.
Questions.
That may be the reason why we have a problem as far as Toronto's concerned.
Yeah. It's a mess from top to bottom. And once again, you know, all the cliches are coming out, 18-wheeler, this and that. And they're going to, you know, there's no, you know, moral victories here. You know, oh, they had a good game. It was a tough road. This is the time of the year where moral victories are meaningless. And as you can see by the eight losses in a row, and they've, you know, played themselves out of a playoff spot. So, c'est la vie, it's next year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But there's still a lot, you know, good race in the East. You know, the West is, you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams are already locked in the West. So, you know, the East is still...
Yeah, when you consider how much better the West is.
Yeah, well the cream rises to the top first.
Enough about the Toronto make me laughs.
Yeah.
Enough about the Toronto make me laughs. You know, let's move on to the Edmonton Spoilers. I mean, you know, these guys are spoiling while we're watching them. I mean,
yeah.
It's worse than watching paint dry, the disaster that this team has become. The Edmonton Oilers are a team that, I mean, why even bother playing the season? You know, to finish last in the Western Division, 61 points, okay? 61 points. I'm saying it out loud. 61
yep.
points. Only team with less points is Buffalo. And Buffalo's got 49 points. And you know, makes me want to throw up just thinking of Buffalo. I mean, they're close to Canada. One, I would even include them in the Canadian bunch since they want to be in Canada. It's the only place they're going to find fans. You know, so basically, you know, you've got Edmonton with 61 points. They've got talent coming out the wazoo.
Yep.
They've got what everyone thought. I think you and I both would agree. The coach that they picked
yep.
Was a guy that did well in the AHL. Coaches that do well in the AHL do well in the National Hockey League, but not him.
And that has to go to, the, like we were saying before, the setup of this team. You know, you could keep bringing in different styles of coaches, you know, tough guys, players, coaches, coaches that, you know, are good with teaching young players, guys that are good with veterans. It's not going to change this team. You know, like you said, I think Dallas Eakins is a great fit for this team. The problem is the players are not a great fit for this team, and it seems like they keep holding on to all of these similar type of, you know, star player. Yes, they're stars as individuals, but they don't have that grit, that grind, that go into the corner to get the puck. Most of these guys are finishers. You know, maybe Eberle's a setup guy, but most of these guys want to be finishers and don't want to take the big hit. And that's the problem with the Oilers. They're not surrounding these guys with players that will accent their game, will make their game better, will help them to succeed. They just keep bringing in similar type of small players. Well, look, you know, look what they have there. You got Hall, Gagne, Eberle, Yakupov, Who did I
They
miss?
Don't have enough pucks. They don't have enough pucks in Edmonton.
Pucks, they all
they
want
gotta throw
the pucks. They all do the same
the
job.
Edmonton.
Yeah, and they all do the
exactly.
same job.
Exactly.
And they don't. But the problem is they don't want to let go of these guys, Frank. They don't want to say. They don't want to trade one. It's like Lowe or they're scared if they trade one of these guys, he's going to go somewhere else to be a superstar. But you have to give up a guy sometimes to get – you have to give up good to get good in return. If they go and say, okay,
Pat,
we're going to deal
about
Everly.
You're right, Pat, but you know what?
Maybe we'll
the
get
Leafs,
back a number
the,
one
the Oilers.
Center.
I agree with you, Pat, and I'll prove to you I agree with you. I'm going to say what you're trying to say in a different way, and this is how I'm going to say it. Bar the Torpedoes, doesn't matter. They got to decide on how many of those star young players they want to keep, the guys that are going to be the, you know, the, I don't want to say prima donnas, but, you know, you can't have all those guys on the team. You're going to have to trade for guys, like you said. You're going to have to, you know, you can have lots of star players, but you got to have plumbers too. You got to have carpenters. You got to have foundation guys. You got to have, you know, it takes a lot of different people to make a team. It takes a lot of different types of men to make a team. You cannot win with one individual brand of hockey. As much as you and I would sit here and go with our history in the game, regardless of how old we are, there's always been the term fire wagon hockey, but the teams that won the cup playing fire wagon hockey also played defense. In other words, they can't be all guys that are goal sucks, as we used to call them, cherry pickers. You know, you can't have a team full of cherry pickers because a few guys have to come back into their own zone. So there has to be a balance on the team. And this is when we get back to what we were saying earlier that you agreed with me. You can't teach Taylor Hall to be a defensive forward. No. You might be able to teach him to be an offensive player who can play defense, but you can't teach him to be 100% defensive. And I'm sorry, every team has to have guys that are pleased as punch to do that kind of spade work that you were referring to. And when you get three guys on a line, even on a line, you can't have three cherry pickers. You got to have the guy, like you said, that goes into the corner and says, "Okay, I'm going to get my nose a little roughed up, but I don't care. I'm going to get that puck out to the, you know, to the prima donna out there in the slot. But at least I'll get an assist, you know. So it's not like I'm doing it for nothing." But Buddy's got to buy into it. He's got to buy into that. That style. And that's, and you know, what's easier to buy into? Something you know or something the guy's trying to teach you? The Carlisle approach works if he gets all the right guys that he needs. But in today's NHL, with locked in contracts, with a budget firm, you can't, you know, Carlisle's mistakes, you know, where he says, "Get me this guy," and it doesn't work out, that's all Carlisle. There's nobody else to blame. The GM can just look at him. But my problem is in Edmonton is that they're too satisfied with losing like they are in Toronto. You know, at some point, somebody's got to say, you know, we got 61 points. We've lost, you know, so many games. We got to do something that puts us in the right direction. It's not always done in the off season. I really don't believe it's done in the off season. I think it's all between the ears when it comes to players. You know, the same players, if they're given the opportunity to be successful, they will be. So, yeah, so and I think that's somewhat what you're trying to say is that, you know, the players have to be able to do what they're expected to do. If you get a coach and you give them all these guys that can't do what they're expected to do, is that the coach's fault? In Edmonton,
no.
For example? I agree with you.
No. In Edmonton, no, absolutely not. And, you know, the main problem, I think, in Edmonton is that they do not want to deal any of them. That is the problem. They don't want to deal any of these players. Yeah,
Pat, they're doing what the Leafs did.
But they have to.
How many games in a row at this time of the year, all right? How many games in a row at this time of the year do you think a team should lose in a row before the management does something serious? At this point in the season, you know,
four losses, five max.
Four losses at this time of the year. You and I had a conversation last week, the second show we did, the first show we did. What did we always say? And it's we're no genius here. We're not geniuses here. We said, go on a losing streak and you're out of the playoffs. Did we not say that?
Yep.
And this is twice as long as anything we said would get you in trouble.
And,
remember,
and
we were talking,
you
lose three or four games in a row and you're history. You're out of the playoffs.
Yep.
They've lost eight. Edmonton is the second worst team in the league. Do you think maybe they should have done something?
Yeah, and they
That's
won't.
How you end up
just,
being this.
Yeah, they
they're
just
freezing.
They refuse to deal any
freezing.
Of their stars. They have to deal them. They have to deal one. They have to deal maybe two. And bring in, you know, if you start trading a couple of these superstars, okay, if they go somewhere else and succeed, good for them. But they're not successful on your team. But you can bring in a number one defenseman. You can bring in a quality number two big centerman. Or you could bring in a couple of quality NHL wingers, second and third line guys who grind in battle, along with, you know, a number two or number three defenseman. You can turn those assets into something that's going to help the remaining superstars you have left, and you build a nice team. This, you know, Edmonton Oilers fans always ask me all the time, when is this going to turn around? What's going on? And I think we've pretty much hit it on the head of what Edmonton Oilers fans need to be hearing. It's time to trade a superstar. As much as it's going to hurt, as much as you hate doing it, but you're going to get another big top pick this year, and what's he going to be? He's going to be another skilled guy who's not going to go into the corners and get that puck out. So you have to start making these deals and start bringing in a different brand of player to support the remaining superstars you have left. And then this team will turn around. And then,
what they need,
because
what
firing,
they need, what
firing Eakins is not going
to
work.
Well, it doesn't matter about firing coaches or whatever, all that stuff. At the end of the day, what has to happen is that when Edmonton goes into the offseason this year, they're going to, first of all, have to bring in somebody with – they thought they had him with the defender they took from Boston, that they took from Boston.
Ferris.
But that guy, to me, is all he is a magic finger. That's all he is. He's not a leader. He's just a he's the kind of guy that doesn't breed the
quality
kind of
guy. Yeah, he's a quality guy.
Yeah, what they need
is
they need
a
leader. They need a leader. They need a guy to help the young guys to understand what it's like to win. As stupid as this sounds, is maybe a LeCavalier would have been a good fit for them. You know, only because he'd been to the dance. He knows what it takes to get to the dance. Yeah, it would have cost him some money to get him. But they really need – they don't have the kind of guy, in my opinion, that's a leader on that team. They lack leadership on that team. The same way the Leafs lack leadership.
And players who won. And players who won
now,
something.
Who?
Edmonton. They need some players who've won, who, you know – not just a guy here, like you said, but a leader who's won something in the NHL. That's another
and has leadership
type of player
skills.
That they need. Yeah.
It has leadership skills, not that can flash a finger in a Stanley Cup playoff game and not get suspended. The other thing they need is they need a team approach. And the coach now this year, I hope, you know, that he wasn't overrated. And if he was, Edmonton has problems. If not, if he is a good coach, and if he does understand the kind of players he needs, you know, the kind of definition for the players that he needs, you know, the definitive, not just, you know, names, but guys that fit into a certain type of mold. He's got to mold a team together. He didn't do it this year. Did he have the help from the GM? That's up for debate. You know, let's move on to Calgary. Calgary is probably the Canadian team that's next to make the playoffs. I believe that Calgary's in the right direction, and the reason I say Calgary's going in the right direction isn't just because they're 6-4 in this 10-game segment, but because they've drafted well. They've drafted Monahan, who's a great young player.
Yep.
And I believe they have some you know, experienced players on that team who can help the younger players, which to me is the most important thing you can do. If you suck for a few years, you get a lot of great young players. But how are they learning their craft? In Edmonton, they can't learn from each other, but essentially that's what they're being asked to do, to learn yep. from each other. Well, they don't have any National Hockey League experience to speak of. Whereas I think in Calgary, there's enough there that, you know, that they can make improvements. You know, I don't know. What do you think of Calgary? Do you think Calgary's headed in the right direction?
I like what they're doing. Like I said, I like some of the pieces that they have. I think they have some great pieces there. My only concern is that they brought in a guy whose mentality is just like Randy Carlyle's in Toronto's. 1989, truculence, fight. We're going to beat you up every night. You need a fighter. You got to have fight. That game is gone. That game is over. I heard a stat on TSN yesterday that, well, what did they say again? Hold on. That fighting is down. Stage fighting is down. Fighting in general is down. And what this tells me is that players that only do one role of fight are slowly being weaned out of this game, which personally I think is all right because the stage fighting is awful and you can have other people, you know, people pick up that role. But what I'm concerned with Calgary is you have that old mentality with Brian Burke coming in
McGratton.
With the same, yeah, McGratton, a guy who can't play. He's a, you know, whether he's on that team or not, it's not going to make you a better team. Actually, it'll make you a worse team because you're taking a roster spot from someone who could probably actually skate, hungry, and has some hockey sense. But what I'm trying to get at is Brian Burke has that same mentality, the same mentality when he came to Toronto. He just brought that speech over to Calgary, and we can see what it's done in Toronto. Yes, we have some good pieces. But we're still a long, 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 long way from being a contender in the NHL. And this is the same thing I think you're going to see in Calgary. You're going to slowly bring in a same type of player, and you're going to see this team struggle and struggle and struggle and be a mediocre team for a long time to come. Yes, they might be the first one to make the playoffs,
but I don't like
Burke.
Pat, what are you going to do? Like, here's the problem, okay? You want my opinion as to why the Canadian teams aren't so good and why they insist on having these tough guys? It's the Cherry effect. Unfortunately,
yep.
Don Cherry is the oldest yep. rock in the mausoleum, you know? And he sounds good, you know? He does a great job of making what he says sound like it's important and it means something
yep.
and it actually has, you know, fact attached to it, when in fact he's the oldest reason and the oldest guy around whose logic for playing hockey, I wish he would move to the States and tell them how to play hockey, then maybe the Canadian teams here in Canada would have a better chance of being better. Unfortunately, I don't agree with a lot that he says, and like there's a lot that I agree with. I agree with his support for our soldiers. I agree with, you know, the fact that good, tough, hardworking guys that are willing to lay in front of a puck to make
yeah.
a defensive play. I agree with that stuff. But it's the pugilistic side that he defends that I find is over. And the reason it's
yep.
over is because now what teams are doing and why teams who, like you say, have the designated fighter, they can't roll four lines like, you know, other teams.
Chicago,
and in fact, the Leafs,
Boston,
the Leafs have shown that. Yeah, the Leafs have shown that when they give an extra shift to Kessel and to Lupul and to Bozak and to whomever else, or you know, Van Riemsdyk, what it does is it fools with the chemistry. It screws things up.
Yeah.
Because that guy now comes out for the next shift. He's not playing at the same pace that the line is accustomed to him playing, and it ends up being something that is detrimental to the team as opposed to supplemental. And so
yep.
I agree with you 100%. These knuckle-dragging guys, whom I respect
yep.
and love and think a lot of, I think as individuals, these are great guys. I respect and love the fact that they've given their all towards the game. But unfortunately, they're old news. And the young players that come up learn that the knuckles aren't as important as your skates are, you know.
Not anymore.
You skate with your and that's what you have to do. The Leafs are having trouble playing when the season starts to accelerate to a four-line game. The Detroit Red Wings you mentioned, they doesn't matter who's in their lineup. They roll four lines. It doesn't matter who is in their lineup. They're all capable of not making mistakes, which cost them games. And they have adequate or at least enough offense to score with reasonable goaltending to protect whatever goals are scored. And that is how you win. I don't know how Toronto doesn't realize that. I don't know how teams don't realize that if you don't play four lines, not only will you not make past the first series, because through the playoffs, if we've seen nothing else, we've seen teams that play roll four lines have success, and teams that roll three quickly fall on the wayside.
Yeah, and I do, you know, I do a lot of other shows too, and I talk to a lot of people, and people say to me about the, you know, because I bring it up with the Leafs because that's the most glaring example, and they say to me, well, if you just take Colton Orr out, you're not going to fix the problem with the Leafs. I said, listen, Colton Orr playing on his team or not playing on his team is a symptom of the problem. It's a symptom of a major problem, whether or not Colton Orr is on this team or not. Because that bring up the same argument again. This is an NHL where you have to have a fourth line that could play. Look at Boston. Their fourth line, every once in a while, they chip in and even score a goal. But that's how you win games when you're not supposed to win games. Or two or three. And it's a symptom of the problem. The NHL fighting knuckle draggers, I call them the same way. Listen, you got to respect them. It's a tough job knowing that you have to go out and fight the biggest, meanest guy on the team. But that's not what this game is anymore. And that game has passed by. So, you know, it's time for not just the Leafs, but this is why I get back to where it leads back to Calgary.
Who has Calgary
brought in the same mentality guy. You need the fighters. You need the guy. And
who has the biggest voice in hockey in Canada and the National Hockey League? Who has the largest voice?
Yeah, it's Don Cherry. You're right, 100. I agree with you 1,001,000,000%.
He's what's wrong with
Canadian
hockey.
Don Cherry effect is a perfect way to say it. Perfect.
It's got to go. You know, if Canadian teams are going to be successful, they're going to have
any team is going to be successful. Not just Canadian teams. Any team is going to be successful.
Yeah, but right now, all I care about are the ones that Don Cherry's affecting. The ones that are listening to him and believing what he says is true, you know, and factual. When it's just an opinion, and his opinion is that you need these guys to fight to keep the other team honest. No, that's not what you need. You need three referees that do their job to make sure that the other team plays by the rules. You don't need to have a guy on the ice. That's why the GM has a telephone. Ask Lemieux. He's used it a few thousand times. And trust me on this one, the Bruins have used that phone number quite a few times. So if you want your team to be protected, it isn't going to be from the knuckle dragger you send out there. It's going to be from the GM with the phone call to the office of the National Hockey League saying, dude, I don't like this. And the Leafs have as much power as anybody. You know, what I would do is I would slow down a payment to the National Hockey League and say, you know that $12 million you want? Geez, sorry, we can't seem to find it right now. We're kind of looking for it. You don't mind if we hang on. You know, we'll send it to you next month. We can't send it to you right now. You know, it's about time Toronto hockey fans, Canadian hockey fans, got something for what they're paying for. Canadian teams are getting nothing for what they're paying for. It just isn't right. And it isn't the teams. Because if it was the teams, it still wouldn't be all of them. So there's more to it than just stupid GMs in Canada. There's more to it. They can't all be stupid. And if they are,
I like your Cherry effect. I think that is so bang on. And the problem is, you know, some of these GMs and coaches come in and right away they start picking up on this same mentality and running with it and thinking that this is the way the game is played. And like you said, I don't understand how some of these teams just don't take Don't take their advice. Don't look at anybody. Look at the teams that are at the top of the NHL standings. St. Louis, San Jose, Kings, Boston, all these quality teams. And then you go to Montreal. Teams say, oh, they're not big enough. There's not enough big guys on that team. Why are all these teams doing well? Because they all have players that fit certain roles. They all have four lines that can skate and play the game. They all have,
skate,
you know,
they all
pretty
know
good
how to play
goaltending.
Hockey.
Yeah, pretty
they
good
all know
goaltending.
How to play
but
hockey.
That's right. And you have guy, and there's reasons why some other teams are not very good because they just don't have. You have a bad year. It happens. But there's teams that just consistently get it wrong. And it's like
chemistry.
Wrong players put in positions not to succeed, but to fail.
I'll give you a perfect example of the cherry effect, okay? I'll give you a perfect example. The best team in Canada over the past little while was a team out there on the left coast, the ones with the whale, the Canucks. They were the best team in Canada a couple of years ago. They had the misfortune of being up against Cherry's team. And I say this for a reason. And Cherry convinced Vancouver and their players that they had to play with more of an edge to beat Boston. So what happens? A player gets suspended. Player gets suspended. They lose one of their top defensemen, one of the regular defensemen. The team now is handicapped because he took a dirty hit against a Montreal, a Boston player. Sorry. So, you know, that's the cherry effect I'm talking about. If Vancouver would have played to their strength, their strength was shooting, scoring. That was their strength. Power play, puck control, you know, speed.
Cycling.
You know, that was their strength.
With the Sedins.
Yeah, that was their strength. All of a sudden, why take a headshot? Why do that? I still to this day believe it's the cherry effect. It's that he has convinced Canadian teams, because they gotta deal with this guy, because they gotta listen to what he says, and he says things. You know, he pretty much ran Wilson out of town in Toronto.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep.
You know. So people listen to this guy. Well, Cherry's the king of the National Hockey League in Canada, and the king's domain sucks. It totally sucks. It sucks to no end. Seven teams in the National Hockey League that hail from this great country known as Canada, and only one of them is going to make the playoffs. This is cherry country, my friend.
Yeah, I love a good fight. Everybody likes a good fight when it's done for a reason. You know,
in the exhibition.
If someone's
season.
Hit your star guy,
season.
You don't like it. But someone's hit your star guy, you don't like it, so you go in and you fight. But you don't, you know. To start a game, you have two guys look at each other. Okay, we got to earn our paycheck tonight. Do you want to fight? Okay, just, you know, watch my face because I have a wedding on Saturday. You know, those kind of fighting guys, those type of players that come on for 3 minutes are not good for the game. They're not a part of this game anymore. Like you said, Don Cherry still keeps defending this type of player that is just there to fight, to make other players. For some reason, he thinks other players respect the stars. No, what's going to people respect is when you score and win games. That's what brings respect, winning games and being a successful hockey team, not being a team that's going to fight you every time you go on the ice, because that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, Cherry's a very brilliant guy, and he's wrapped himself with the Canadian flag. He's hidden behind soldiers. He's hidden behind policemen. Our fallen heroes.
I wouldn't go that
and
far. I wouldn't
are,
go that
people
far.
Are forgetting about what we're talking about here. But, you know, this is why I don't agree when it comes to sports, and I don't agree when it comes to television or radio, that people should do that kind of stuff in a way that makes them create the idea that they are representative of those people. That's what I'm getting at here. At the end of the day, I can't criticize Cherry, because if I criticize Cherry, am I criticizing the fact that he feels bad when Canadian soldiers die? That he feels bad when young kids die?
You could criticize him. That's two
and
different
that's
situations. You could criticize his thinking of, you know, old school, you need fighters and you have to hit guys
yeah.
and, you know, you can criticize that and not be on the other end. That's why I said, I don't think he wraps himself in with these people so he can protect his point of view. I think they're two different entities.
Absolutely.
I don't believe that at all.
That's the effect it has. You know, it's like we've seen it through history a lot of times. We've seen some people who've done things that we don't agree with who wrap themselves in the flag. You know, I don't want to get into it, but at the end of the day, you have to disassociate Don Cherry from the nice things he says, and let's just concentrate on the hockey. And I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm sure that you would say the same thing. We don't disagree with Don Cherry that we should respect our soldiers. We don't disagree with Don Cherry that when kids die on hockey rinks, that's the saddest thing in the world, and my condolences to the family. When police officers die in the line of duty, that's horrible. That's horrible stuff that needs to be acknowledged as sad, and we need to acknowledge the respect that these people do. But it clouds the issue of why he's on the TV. He's on the TV to talk about hockey. He's on the TV to talk about teens. So, at the end of the day, he has the advantage already that he can rewind every tape he's ever done and find something that he said 20 years ago that sounds like it's right today. But I promise you this, anybody can do that. That's not hard to do because even a broken watch is right twice a day.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, the brilliance that I want to talk about is the game of hockey. And the brilliance of hockey is not about fighting. It's about getting the right four lines together. And those four lines have to be accompanied by defensemen as well. So you've got to use today in today's hockey the 40-second shift it's the world of the 40-second 40-50-second shift. You better have four lines that you can roll, and you can't have a guy who only can fight. All you can hope for is that when the challenge is there, that the guys on the ice that you have will not be intimidated. That's all you can hope for. You don't necessarily have to win the fight. You just have to show up. Isn't that what it's all about? Do you have to really win the fight?
No, right? You have to be willing to battle and stick your nose in and not give up.
And not be intimidated.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end of this show. I think we should maybe do some predictions of who's going to make the playoffs in the East. And, well, the West is pretty much wrapped, but the East, because what? By next show, the playoffs are going to be pretty much starting.
Established, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much established anyway.
Well,
so
I'm going to predict that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be the home team in the first series.
You're joking, right?
No, they're going to be the home
serious?
Team in the first series. No, I'm serious. And I
you
guarantee
gonna
you,
make
whatever
playoffs?
Golf course they pick, No. They're going to be the home team in their first series. Their first golf match that they're going to have. They're going to. No, actually, you know what? What has Detroit shown us over the past 20 years that they make the playoffs every year?
Yeah.
What have they done to prove to us that they deserve to make the playoffs? They've proven to us that they have the best coach in hockey. The best coach in hockey is the guy who knows and understands what it takes to win, regardless of who he's handed. As long as they believe in this guy, Babcock's a winner. Once again, he's in a position where Babcock's not a tent folder. You know, their tent's not going to fold up. They're only going to get better when they get into the playoffs, and you don't want to be – the series that I'm looking forward to, which I think will be – it doesn't matter which team they play, whether it be whether Detroit plays Boston or Pittsburgh. Both of those teams should be shaking in their skates just thinking about having to play them. You know,
Look what they did to Chicago last year.
Absolutely. Columbus, Washington, Toronto. Toronto has an outside chance. As does Washington. Columbus has been playing well, you know, and they've looked really good. And they're really hungry to make the playoffs here in the Eastern Division. They're happy to be in the Eastern Division. And the irony is that Detroit and Columbus are the two Western Conference teams that are sitting here in the Eastern Division, proving once again proving once again that the Western Division is better than the Eastern Division, because Detroit and Columbus were there last year, and they're going to suck up the wild card spots, it looks like. I give Washington an outside chance, but Washington, they just lack the discipline.
That's...
And I don't think they'll make it just because of that.
Yeah, Debs, I have to agree. I think how we see it right now is how it's going to end up. And Washington, the same thing. And outside, I don't see any possibility, any way that Toronto finds themselves in the playoffs. First of all, they have to win every single game, and they got to hope that the three teams in front of them lose games. So to me, they are officially, even though 2 points, they are officially eliminated from the playoffs. So, as Washington, as an outside shot.
What they can't undo, Pat, are the losses.
Yeah.
They have extra losses. You know, they don't have – the other teams have games in hand. And the Leafs can't win those games. They've lost them already. So it's not just about the 8 games that they've lost in a row. It's the games that they have played more that they've lost, which ultimately will be their undoing. They're going to run out of games to be able to catch anybody above them. In the Western Division, I like
pretty
the
much
Western Division. Pretty much. But, you know, Dallas, I happen to think that Dallas is going to get in. Phoenix is going to get is going to be out. I like Dallas's chances. But it is... One thing's for sure. Well, I shouldn't say for sure because Vancouver fans will not be happy with me. But I just don't see Vancouver winning enough to make it into the playoffs. Nashville's too far away. And so really, two of the three teams, Dallas, Phoenix, and Minnesota, will get in. I'm going to pick Dallas and Minnesota. I'm going to say Phoenix is going to be on the inside looking out. And I'm going to say this is another one of those where Dallas is going to throw a scare into whomever they play in the first round.
Yeah, well, we agree again. There's no disagreement here. I think Dallas is going to get in
really?
As well. I think Phoenix,
and you know, folks, not only have we not had a conversation about this subject, we literally have never talked about anything in private. You've heard everything that Pat and I have had to say to each other.
Yeah, this one we totally agree, because I do think that Dallas gets in and Phoenix just doesn't have enough to get in right now, and they're going to be on the outside looking in as well.
Yeah. So it's
so, hey,
it's
we're
going
something
to be
we agree
very...
on, Frank. Not bad.
Well, that'll change. We got lots of time for that to change, Pat. There's lots of time and lots of reason for that to change. On a final note, it seems to me, and it's becoming more and more clear, that Shanahan's whistle, somebody took the ball out of his whistle, because either the players have learned their lesson or they're not calling suspensions on plays that used to be suspensions.
Second half of that.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's
sure
definitely the latter.
Like
we've seen a lot of iffy plays that have not been called.
Yeah, that would have been called at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat, give us let us know where people can follow you and check you out, the shows you're on, and, your webpage.
Yeah, you can find me, of course, on Facebook, NHL NFA. It's a group. That's our 24-hour hockey talk website, NHLNFA.com. All the latest news, scores, highlights, videos, contests, giveaways every month. So, everything you need to know about the NHL. Best part, it's done by and for the fans, and we're a cause trying to give the fans a voice that the NHL will listen to and respect one day. And you can catch me every Tuesday at 11 to 1 a.m. on Sirius XM, channel 167, Norm at Night.
And, hang on a second. We got somebody calling in. Hello, who's this?
Right at the end.
Oh, this is Scott.
Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott.
Well, good, how's it going? Under the wire?
Yeah, right under the
wire,
buddy.
But you know what? I have the power to raise the wire, so don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
What happens is we can go on a little bit longer because I appreciate you calling. The show live ends in 10 seconds, but when people rewind it and play the rewind, they'll hear the rest of it. So they'll hear your comment, and you will be able to hear your comment as well. Scott, please share your opinion with us. We're more than glad to hear it.
Oh. I'm just kind of really kind of at a loss for words as far as with the Red Wings kind of being up and down lately and finally seemingly pulling their heads out of their collective butts this last weekend. But I come in peace, though, because I know that we kind of killed your guys' chances at a playoff bid.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But,
so do you think that Babcock should win the Coach of the Year if he gets the Red Wings in?
Coach of the Decade.
Considering he's never won it before.
But the Coach of the Year seems to be a popularity contest. I mean, he could have probably won it
Absolutely.
At least three or four times before. I mean, even as a coach in Anaheim. Or did he win the award?
He's never won it. Never won the Coach of the Year.
He was the best steal by any team, I think, over the past decade as far as a coach is concerned.
For sure. For sure. I mean, he's almost got the Bowman kind of, you know, reserved stare, you know, the intimidating silence, if you will. And he's just got the ability that Bowman had to just make his players, you know, light the fire under his players' butts when they need it. I think that's probably why his teams are playing so well lately, you know, because before he was just playing with all-stars. You know, he didn't need a coach and just basically say, look, you know you're the best player in the world, just go out there and win a cup. But now he's really let his skills.
How much, between you and I, Scott, between you and I, how much of the greatness of the players that play in Detroit maybe should be credited? Like, if nothing else, Babcock is showing us that, you know, I don't know if you were listening to the program earlier, but he is a fantastic coach that allows players to play within their ability and be successful and not be a negative to the team. In other words, make the kind of mistakes that sink a team. You know, we see lots of teams that have coaches and players, and for some reason the players don't look good and make stupid mistakes and cost the team wins or victories. Yeah,
Toronto.
Did you say that out loud? But you know, Scott, you have to be very happy with the coach that you've got. Yeah, they didn't look so good early. But you know what? I think he was working on these guys and getting them, you know, I think the last thing he said to his guys, the last thing that we heard publicly, at least that I heard publicly, was he told his guys to not worry about playing. Just play there. Don't make any mistakes. Don't worry about accomplishing anything. Just play the system, don't make any mistakes, and wait for your opportunity. He is a tactician who motivates players in a way, like you said, Scotty Bowman did it with fear. I think Babcock does it with intelligence.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the Red Wings have a knack of drafting players that nobody seems to see or want, or they always find that diamond in the rough, and it's not a coincidence. You know, people say, oh, they got lucky. What? How do you keep getting lucky year after year, decade after decade?
I don't know
it's
about
not
that.
Luck. They have,
I don't
not
know
luck.
About
they
that.
They have a fantastic scouting system, I am telling you. They have probably the best scouting system, one of the best scouting systems in the NHL. It's not how big it is. It's the people that they have doing the scouting that makes the difference.
But
for
Pat,
sure, look at their all-stars. They've got the diamond in the rough, you know, figured out for sure with, you know, Zetterberg, Datsyuk. Those guys came out of left field and, you know, picked in what I believe the third and fourth round respectively.
Franzen, now you got Nyquist, who was a second round pick. You know, it's not an accident that they keep picking these good players in late rounds.
You know, Guy, I hate to disagree with you guys, but I disagree with you 100%. And this is how I disagree with you. For me, what Detroit has as developers of talent, that's how they are the best. You know, I think the draft is totally overblown. I think the draft is crazy. That people think the draft is a be-all and end-all in sports. It isn't. What is the be-all and end-all is the management team you put together that understands the player that shows up at training camp, understands their strengths and their weaknesses, and the most important thing, understands how to develop that talent.
Yeah.
And that's where Detroit's ahead of everybody else. You know,
yeah,
if
that's
the draft
part
was
of it
all
too,
that
as well.
That's a, the biggest part, because the draft really doesn't mean anything. How do you how if the draft was the be all and end all of everything, why aren't Edmonton out of last place? It's because they don't know how to even make the best players better. You know, or good enough for that matter.
Detroit had the revolving door for so many years of all-stars, and then they had to the up-and-comers, and that's probably what's been, like you said, the biggest success for them is just... Oh, go ahead.
Look, I agree with you, Frank.
Other than Weiss, you know, they've had their misses, but any Detroit fan knows how many players from other teams, Rafalski, how many players have come to Detroit from other organizations, and for some reason they put on that Red Wing jersey, and all of a sudden they're championship caliber, where other people thought they were done where they were. You know,
Larry
who
Murphy.
The heck would have thought? Yeah, Bertuzzi. Bertuzzi.
Yeah,
come on, man. I mean, there are a lot of players that go to Detroit, and you know what Detroit does that I think is why they're so good? They'll bring those guys in, like a White. If he doesn't work, they jettison him. They don't feel committed to him. Sign him on a two-year deal, he's gone in the first year if he's no good.
They don't fall in love with their players is another reason.
They don't worry about ego. And the biggest reason for that Detroit has, and I thought Toronto was going down that road, but I don't think they are anymore. I'm beginning to think that's not true. But it's the community think tank that Detroit has. Mm-hmm. You can pluck one of their geniuses out of their group, and the group won't be that much less. You know,
well,
Devolano is one of four or five guys. Go ahead.
Dallas took Nil from Detroit, and he, from what I hear, is, you know, paying off dividends for the team. I don't know.
He's doing fantastic in Dallas.
You know, you've got
absolutely
a lot of former Red Wing management, you know, McClellan in San Jose. You've got Lewis, who's, I think, an assistant. You know, it just, you know, they breed talent, and when they leave Detroit, look at Filppula. He's, you know, he would be the leading scorer if he were back on the Red Wings roster. But, you know,
they're not scared to keep guys in the minors for an extra year or two of seasoning. And that's another, you know, along with drafting. But, yes, I agree with you, Frank. It's their system and be able to develop and get the best out of a person's skill set. They're not scared to keep guys in the minors an extra year or two instead of rushing them up when they're 18, 19. They'll keep them down 2-3 years, season them up, get them ready to come up and play in the big show, and when they get here, they're ready to step right in. And we're seeing that once again this year with you know, the guys that are coming up. And what's happening again? Coaching, good systems, getting the best out of the players. It's a combination of everything. And that's why they haven't missed the playoffs in coming up to 23 years and why they've won, you know, as many cups as they have won. They're just an organization of class, talent, and ownership, players, GM, everything, all in one goal.
They're pulling the rope all
succeed.
In the same direction. They're pulling the rope all in the same direction.
That's right.
There is no press release or press comment coming out of the media that says, for example, and I apologize to you, Scott, I'm going to mention the Leafs now. Known as publicly, it's been acknowledged
they're so
that.
Bad.
Oh, I.
Yeah, I lost.
Frank was still talking. Yeah, I lost.
Am I back?
Yeah,
you're back.
Okay. Yeah, no, that mic's going a little crazy. We're coming to you from. Oh, we'll remind everybody, we're coming to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We hope everybody's enjoying the program. We're going a little extended time. For those of you that were listening live, you don't even know this is going on. But for those of you that listen on the rewind, you'll find that the show has gone beyond 10 o'clock, and we're okay with it. Scott came on. The dummy didn't call till the end of the show. But the nice guy,
I was on
for
the last
half
hour because you guys said it was a late start.
the nice guy that I am, I extended the show so Scott could brag on his Detroit Red Wings and we could get that sour maple leaf taste out of our mouths.
Right. Well, I'm still pulling for the Leafs over the Jackets. I'd rather see them than, you know, any other team in the bottom right now.
Well, you know what? The playoffs, one thing about the playoffs in hockey is that it is an endurance race. So
yeah.
It really doesn't matter who makes the playoffs. If you watch, and fortunately here in Canada, we get to watch every team almost, it seems. And I think we do actually get to watch pretty much every game. So, you know, Canadian fans who suffer through the indignity of being, other than Montreal, who suffer the indignity of being a fan of their local team, can rinse their mouths out and watch some good hockey provided by the American teams. And, you know, since you can get pretty attached to some of the teams. Detroit is one that I find people get attached to rather easily. San Jose in the West. You know, there's lots
Chicago
of great teams
well.
That you're going to watch. Yeah, that you're going to watch and you're going to grow an attachment towards, especially, you know, you get to know those teams that are playing the sixth and seventh game of a series because that's all there is. As you know, us hockey fans, you know, if there's only one game on tonight, guess what? I don't have to decide.
Yeah. And we're watching it.
That's right. So, you know, it's a shame that Canadian... Scott, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hey, good man. Okay. So, yeah, Salt Lake City, Utah. You guys have an American Hockey League team, don't you?
Yeah, they're unfortunately affiliated with the Ducks, but that's about all I can say about them, I guess.
Yeah.
They haven't done too well from what I've seen.
It's a you know, it is what it is. We all enjoy watching hockey. Your favorite team, you said, is I'm beginning to remember who you are now. So you've moved around the country.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a vagabond of sorts, I guess you could say. My dad moved us to Washington State, and that's where I kind of was introduced to hockey and followed the Red Wings, and my dad followed the Canucks, and it was one of those things where, you know, 2002 rolled around, and I got my wish come true when they won the Cup, and so I've been hooked ever since.
There you go. Well, it is
then,
the Western Division. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, you wrote a piece recently, right? Why don't you give us the lowdown on the last article you wrote for NHL.com?
Well, I did a little repeat this morning of another previous article of mine talking about the, you know, the weeks ahead, and the last article I wrote was kind of a downer piece about how the Wings would have to really went out to even try to make the playoffs, and this one was a little more positive and
upbeat.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the biggest point I was trying to bring home is that they need to work on their defense. You know, their penalty kill has been pretty much their saving grace over the last year, and their power play has just been deplorable. So if they want anything to happen in the playoffs, they're going to need to just come together as a team, and they've thankfully done that the last couple games.
Don't forget, the element of surprise is worth a lot.
Well, yeah, but like you just said, Detroit is nothing, or not a team to really be taken lightly. You know, last year was prime example. They almost took out, you know, all the teams that they were faced with, and Chicago pulled the switch on Detroit's dream, and, you know, they went on to win the Cup, but...
So, yeah, so the team that Detroit lost to was the Cup winner, so that's not bad.
Right.
And Zetterberg should be back sometime, hopefully for the first round, maybe late the first round. They're hoping sometime he might be back.
Yeah, might come back. I think what is it, the end of this week? So if they're getting healthy at the right time, then
if they can get them all back together again, and the way they're playing right now, and plug those two guys in, again they're going to be dangerous. You know, no one's going to, like you said, Frank, no one is going to want this team in the first round. Doesn't matter who it is.
Well, that's because they're coming in as a wild card, but they're not a wild card team.
Not with those guys.
No, just,
not with that Duke and Zetterberg back. Yeah, not with that Duke and Zetterberg back, but
exactly.
Without
that
Duke
and Zetterberg,
they're a wild card team.
Yeah, but
you
know, with them, they're not. Go ahead,
sorry. I'll just it's always been defense for me because they have this habit of playing periods 1 and 2 great and then stepping into the third period and just blowing every lead they get. And if they don't get their defense figured out, even just to the point to where they can hold a lead, they're not going to go very far, I feel.
Well, Only time will tell. Scott, listen, we asked ourselves this question. We had this little debate where right now you've got the wild card teams are Minnesota and Phoenix in the West. You've got Dallas and Vancouver the next closest. Pretty safe bet. Who do you think of those four teams will be the two wild card teams?
Well, I want to root for the Coyotes since it's my actual home team, but after they lost Mike Smith, and I'm not sure what's the update on his injury. Do you guys know?
Injury, it's not as bad as expected, but he's out, I think, for a week, at least a week, but it's not as bad as expected.
And he's pretty much their bread and butter. I mean, they've got some great players, but he's been their saving, you know, goaltender for the last couple of years. So I don't know. Maybe Minnesota and Dallas, if I get lucky, Phoenix will squeak in and I'll have
that makes it unanimous. That makes it unanimous. That makes it unanimous for us. That's what we said. Now, Detroit, Columbus, Washington, and Toronto, which two teams do you think are going to make it?
You know, I think Detroit's a lock now. I mean, not to sound too bold, because they've got more games in hand on, I think, at least two of the teams in the four. I know they have a couple on the Leafs. Columbus, if they can keep up their good play, or as I would call it, their kind of sketchy play, because they really got away with a few goals against Detroit the last one they had, but I'm not going to go there. I could see, I don't know. I mean, I want to, for your guys' sake and for the sake of Original Six Hockey, say Toronto, but it'll probably be the same as it is.
Yeah.
No, hey, listen, Toronto, I'm not a Toronto fan. I mean, I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm a Toronto fan. And to make it very clear, I love this. I'm born and raised in Toronto. I love this city. But let's remember one very important thing. Not everybody loves a team just because they're from that city. I expect a little bit in return from the team, and a little more than they've given. I only expect a little bit, but the Leafs have given enough in my time following hockey in Toronto. So no, they don't have any. You know, I don't have any obligation to them making the playoffs. Make it or not doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you know, that good hockey is played.
Right. Well, I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan from, you know, back when I was a kid, so I can totally understand your point with not having any obligations to your home team.
No, you shouldn't have to. Just because they're your home team, they have an obligation to make you feel comfortable to cheer for them. It's got to be a two-way street, right? Give me a reason to cheer for you once in a while.
No kidding.
The Jays won.
Going into their games.
Yeah, well, you know what? The league likes it that way. The league is, you know, as a guy from Utah, they discriminate against Canada. The league doesn't want Canada to be successful, and Pat and I disagree on this, but all I'll say is this, if no one believes now that most of the money paid towards hockey comes from Canada, if you didn't know it then, you know it now. And you have to ask yourself, how come so much money comes out of Canada, but they only have 7 out of the 28 teams? It's because the Americans don't want to have any more Canadian teams. They'd rather have their fans, us, the Canadians, watch the American teams play rather than our own. And that's discriminatory, and I hold that against the National Hockey League the same way I hold my support of the Leafs. Show me that you give a damn about us. You know, we have you have New York City, New York Islanders, New Jersey Devils. We have a community that could support three teams with no less difficulty than that area. But the NHL chooses not to put teams there because they'd rather take the money and not give the fans a team. That's my opinion, and I'll always hold that against the National Hockey League. They discriminate against Canadians, and I don't find that very satisfying. Like I said, good hockey, that's what I'm here to watch, to care about. The politics, I've expressed it, but you know, that doesn't stop me from enjoying the game, which is what I'm interested in. I'm very fortunate to have teams like Detroit in the league.
Well, I don't know. I agree with the anti-Canada discriminatory kind of cases, because if you look at the American teams, they have a couple of teams, you know, Florida, some could say Phoenix, that have been just kind of perennial bottom feeders. And if, you know, if there's so much of a hockey market outside of the States, why not put it there? You know, why not bring it to the the country that started the sport.
As a resident of the United States, you are more than aware, if you've watched hockey for any length of protracted period, you'll know that the Saturday afternoon games in the U.S. never include a Canadian team. Never. The National Hockey League does not promote Canadian teams in the U.S., but goes out of its way to force Canadians to promote American teams in Canada.
Because
that's my point.
That's true. Well, America is always me first. That's the American ideal.
Canadian fans will watch, like you said, we're in Canada, there's a lot of fans that are fans of teams like Pittsburgh, Detroit, this and that. So why are they fans of them, Pat?
Why are they fans of Pittsburgh? Usually
their teams are winning. Frank, we are never going to agree on this issue. I'm just going to give my point. We're never going to agree on this. I'm not asking you to agree with me.
The last thing I'm doing is asking you to agree with me. I'm asking for clarification. And here's my question.
Why? Because they're successful. Everybody likes a winner.
Right.
And how are Canadian teams
on the success rate, on the success tangent?
Yeah, not very good. But like I said, we can't agree because I don't think there's a conspiracy from the NHL, right? Otherwise,
I didn't say a conspiracy. Conspiracy implies it's secret. It's not a secret. The Americans do not want more Canadian teams in the league.
It's not a secret. Okay, but I don't agree because it's biased and prejudiced.
Otherwise,
what about when the Canadian dollar was at 60 cents? Remember back then? That came up with the owner of the Calgary Flames to help the Canadian teams. Otherwise, most of the Canadian teams, besides Toronto, maybe Montreal, were pretty much going to have to fold because they couldn't keep up. So Bettman and the owner of the Flames came up with that system to give money to the Canadian teams to prop them up until the Canadian dollar got stronger.
All right. So the equalization payments go from whom to whom?
It goes from the top earning teams to the bottom earning teams. But all the owners came up with this. It's not like just the American owners did. The Canadian owners did it too. It was all part of the CBA, collective bargaining, whatever it was. They all came up with this.
What carries the vote? How many teams have to agree?
I have no idea, Frank.
How many? You don't know? You see, when you start making statements like that, Pat. No, but Pat, when you start making statements like that,
I just don't think that's what you sound like.
The Canadian teams have as much say in the National Hockey League as the American teams. Did I misunderstand
yes.
you?
If not more say, because they drive most of the money.
Who drives most of the money?
They make most of the money for the NHL. So they have, I think they have
who?
More of a say, who? The Canadian owners, more of a say than the majority of the American owners.
Then why did you talked about Calgary. Why did that owner leave his post as the head of the National Hockey League, and now the owner of Boston is?
I have no idea
why he left. I don't know why he left. Here's when one says that one has most of the say in something, I like to hear how they have more say. And what I'm telling you is this. Okay, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm telling you. In other words, this is what's really coming out of my mouth. Nobody is talking on behalf of the Canadian hockey fans. The conversation is the sellout owners in the National Hockey League that wave the Canadian flag who are selling out to the Americans. Selling out. And the way they're selling out is this. Is they're not doing what they should be doing or be forced to do by the government in Canada, because it's at the point now where I think it's illegal and immoral. Okay, what they're doing. All right? They're not allowing an equal opportunity. Simple, morally speaking, the National Hockey League and their owners are immoral. Okay? That's what I'm going to say. And I would write it down and I would send it somewhere. Here's how they're immoral. They're not putting hockey teams in places where fans want the teams. They're putting hockey teams where they want them to be and ignore the fans that want the game. And I told you this the last time we had our conversation. The Constitution in the National Hockey League, when Bettman came in, said the Constitution of the National Hockey League, same thing you just said, put together by the owners, said, and it was something that helped with the antitrust. It was a constitution they had to institute so that they could avoid antitrust laws. The government of the United States expects leagues and organizations to be fair and give everybody an equal opportunity to participate. What I'm telling you is, I'm telling you this, I'm not suggesting it, I'm telling you, is that Canadian hockey fans do not participate in the same way American fans do. American fans can gather 10 guys together, 20 guys together, sell 40 tickets, so they get a National Hockey League team. Hamilton sells 18,000 season tickets in two days, a day and a half? They don't get a team. Please don't talk to me about conspiracy. Conspiracy, it's not. It's immoral what the National Hockey League does. National Hockey League teams should be where the fans want them. And don't tell me Hamilton can't support a team.
They don't ever listen to the fans of any state. They never listen to the fans.
You missed what I said. You missed what I said. What the National Hockey League is doing goes against antitrust rules. But because the people they're discriminating against aren't American, the Americans don't care. And because the Canadians in government, wherever, lack a spine, guys like Don Cherry, who lack a spine and don't stand up for places like Hamilton and Saskatoon that could support hockey teams, and none of them say, you know, how come you guys bend over backwards and dump $5 million a year into Phoenix, Toronto sends $2-3 million a year to Florida, and you won't give a chance to a community that could support a team on its own? It's not a conspiracy. That's baloney. Pat, I'm not talking conspiracy. I'm talking moral high ground. I'm talking immoral. The National Hockey League is an immoral organization has a reputation of having criminals, crooks, people who belong in jail, who've been in jail. That's why we don't have a hockey team in Hamilton, because those kinds of people run the league. So don't give me, I'm talking morally speaking, a simple freaking question. If a community could support a hockey team, do they, in your mind, and Scott, in your mind, do you think they deserve a team? Do you think it would naturally should be acceptable that they deserve a team?
Nobody deserves a team. They're going to go wherever. The NHL is going to go wherever they think is best for them. That's all they care about. It's bottom line.
Of course.
Whatever they think is best for the NHL. They don't care what the fans think, what the city of the NHL, what the city of Hamilton, what the city of Seattle.
So they have no obligation. They have no moral obligation.
No.
They have no antitrust laws to worry about.
I don't know about antitrust laws. I don't know about antitrust laws. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know that stuff. But they have no moral high ground or no moral reason to put a team anywhere. They have no moral obligation to put a team anywhere. They can do whatever they want. It's fair to me, and they can do whatever they want. Whether we agree or not, they have the right to do that.
They did before Bettman came. Before Bettman came, there was a constitution in the National Hockey League that said, and check it out if you like. There was a constitution.
Now Bettman's here, and the owners love him for some reason. They're making him money. Otherwise, they would get rid of him if he was an idiot
NHL. Of course, right? Pat. If you have existing teams that have a place where hockey is really popular, and instead of putting a team in there. Instead of putting a team in Hamilton or Southern Ontario where the desire for a team is obvious, another team, where the desire for another team is in Hamilton or in Southern Ontario. Why not, if you're the American owners, say, let's not put a team there. If we put a team there, then they're going to suck all the money. Why don't we just eliminate the middleman and we'll sell the TV deal and we'll sell American hockey teams in Canada and feed them our American teams and pay the advertising dollars and send them straight to the American teams and not straight to not to Canadian fans, denying Canadians jobs at arenas, like what Phoenix is fighting for, the politicians there are fighting for, they're even willing to pay for it. That's what they're denying those places in Canada that don't have a team that could support one. It's a financial ripoff by the National Hockey League. It's an economic, it's economic thievery is what it is. It's denying them the, you know, Scott, you come from the United States, right?
Right.
Right? Do you understand term that the Americans have? Do you understand the term that the Americans have in the Constitution, which states that everyone has the right to the pursuit of happiness?
Right.
Right? Do you know what that means? What does that mean to you, the pursuit of happiness in the constitutional sense?
You should be able to have an equal shot at your way of living or whatever it is.
The NHL is a private company. They can do whatever they want. Whether
no,
we like
can't.
It or not.
You see, Pat,
yes,
that's
they can.
You
they're
and
allowed
I
to do whatever they want, though. But they're
no,
allowed
they're
to do it.
No,
morally, it doesn't matter.
Are you telling me
so
that
they're
a
not allowed to put a team? They're
wants?
Not allowed to put a team in Seattle
so,
if
so
they
what
want
you're
it.
Telling
instead
me,
of
so,
instead of
so,
instead of.
So what you're telling me? What you're telling me is a business can do whatever it wants without.
Without what?
Well, look at.
Business can do whatever they want, most of the time. Right? Of course, there's certain laws that you can't,
is that
you
what
can't
you're
break.
Oh, there's laws. And why are the laws, and why are there laws?
Okay,
why
so,
are there
so
laws?
Let me ask you that.
What?
So if they, let's say they go tomorrow and they say, okay, we have to choose between Hamilton gets a team or Seattle gets a team. But that's against a constitution or a law that for in the NHL. Because they choose to go there instead of Hamilton.
What I'm saying to you is that when the league was instituted, there were laws that the league had to adapt to and had to create to make sure, because there's a lot of laws like you're saying. See, because you're right in what you're saying to a degree. What you're saying is there's a different set of rules for sports franchises than there are for other businesses.
Yes, of course.
We agree about
that.
But
they could do whatever
the government and its The government in its infinite wisdom, said to teams, we expect X, Y, and Z. If you step over the line, we could come in and take away your ability to do what you're doing. We will act on the, you know, there's antitrust laws. So as you go past that, you get in trouble. Now, my friend, I hate to break this to you. This is the only reason this isn't a problem is because it's the United States doesn't care about Canada. We're just another
why
foreign
would they care?
Country.
Of course.
Hang
why
on.
Would they care
that's
about
what
us?
I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to tell
but,
you.
But the,
that's
but
what
he,
I'm trying to tell you, and you're not. I don't think you're hearing
life.
It. In the United States, no, it's not. In the United States, there was a player in baseball who wanted to sign a contract with another team, wasn't allowed to. Nobody signed him. He proved that the league. So vulnerable over what's going on. At the end of the day, my friend, and this is what I'm saying, I am not American. I am a Canadian. And what I see is morally wrong. I'm telling you, as a Canadian, what I see is morally wrong. The National Hockey League should not have the right to ignore fans, especially when that guy, Gary Bettman, comes to Canada and he says and takes our money, Canadian money, from Rogers, more money than he's taken from anywhere else, and says, we did this contract for the fans. I asked you the question before, and I'll ask you again, which fans is he talking about? He's not talking about fans. He doesn't care about fans. He only cares about the guys in the office that run the league. Those are the only people he cares about. So who is watching over the National Hockey League so that they continue, that they be, that they're morally correct, they're fair to the fans, and that they're a company that doesn't discriminate. Who's there to watch over them? Is there anybody, Pat? Is there anyone?
I don't think they should be the fans, because if they're not happy, don't go out. Don't pay the money. Don't go watch games. Don't buy their merchandise. Right? If the fans are unhappy, if they think they're being discriminated against, don't go out. Don't buy tickets. Don't go watch games.
How can they buy tickets to a team that doesn't exist? Then they go home and watch the hockey game, and they watch the commercials, and the TV stations that sell those commercials send the money to the United States. How can you win that battle?
You can't.
Exactly. So that's what I mean by moral ground. That's what I mean
ground. I understand. Yeah,
that's
morally,
mean by moral ground.
Yes, I understand. I get it that morally, but what are you going to – that's the way it works. That's the way it works.
No,
whether
it isn't
we
way
agree
it works.
Or not.
It's going to change. It's going to change. It will change. It will change.
Okay.
I promise you it will change. Right
if the game wants to be successful, it has to be successful in the United States. There's nothing you could do about it. It's the biggest market with the biggest amount of people and the biggest TV markets and things. So you need the United States as much as Canada.
I disagree.
Wow.
I disagree. I think you're wrong. I think China's bigger than the United States. There's more people there. It could grow bigger than
the United
States.
Yeah, I agree, but not to watch hockey.
Why not?
Because they don't like hockey in China. That's why. They don't like hockey in China.
What did you say? You're saying you see
the
you hear where you,
for
you
the
hear
NHL
what we're
in China
about?
Is crazy.
I love it. So that Pat, you just stepped into a trap. You just made a giant sized mistake. You said that the reason we should be promoting hockey in the United States is lots of people there, and for it to be successful, there's more people. Well, there's more people in China. My point is that as big as the United States is, they can't scare up enough money. They can't rub enough quarters together to support all their teams. They need Canada's money to go to their owners to help support and make the league better. They can't do it with us.
Right now they do. That's right. And before, when the Canadian dollar was at 60 cents, the Canadian markets needed the American dollar to help out the Canadian teams. Right? Otherwise, most of the Canadian teams would have failed and would have folded and disbanded.
That's not why the teams left Canada.
But they would have. They would have. If they didn't come up with that system, Bettman and
Quebec,
the owner of the
Quebec
Calgary Flames, I forgot his name now.
Quebec and Winnipeg left Canada. Winnipeg said, we're not building you a new arena. And Quebec said,
and
we're not building you a new arena.
And they couldn't find an owner to keep it in Winnipeg.
If they could have found an owner with money to back the team up
and put the team and keep the team there, they would have stayed there.
Those two teams left the National Hockey League cities that they were in, Winnipeg and Quebec, the same way Baltimore left the NFL team in Baltimore. Exactly the same. The owner decided he wanted to leave and he wanted to go somewhere else. And let's not make any mistake here, my friend. Let's not make any mistake here. The same people that were running the Quebec Nordiques were running the Colorado Avalanche.
They couldn't find a Canadian owner to step up with his money and keep the team where it was. So they moved. That's why they moved.
Again.
They didn't move because
it's
Winnipeg,
screw
them.
I'll keep showing you the hypocritical way the National Hockey League thinks. So they left. You're saying then they left Quebec and they left Winnipeg because there were other they could go that could support a team better.
No, because they left because no Canadian company mm-hmm. with money would step up, buy the team, and keep it in Winnipeg or Quebec. That's why.
Okay.
So on that basis,
those two Canadian teams left.
They left because nobody in Canada would step up. Look at the Montreal Canadiens. Look at the Montreal Canadiens. Nobody wanted to buy the Montreal Canadiens. Who bought the Montreal Canadiens?
Gillette. George Gillette. But
who bought
the,
that's right. And what is he? An American. Not a Canadian.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Okay. Now, can we go back to what you said? Because this is one point at a time, Mike, and then this will be it. We've gone on long enough. But let me ask you a question. By definition, by what you said in your own words, if you repeated those words again and replace those cities, Quebec and Winnipeg, if you threw in the word Phoenix instead of those two names, were they not identical circumstances? Wasn't there an opportunity to go to Hamilton?
Phoenix
with
is
the
a different
team?
Situation, though. Phoenix is a different situation because they have a whole city that's built, a whole city that's built around, a whole community built around that arena. That's why even the city of Glendale steps up to pay $20 million a year because it would kill the whole area and the economy. So that's a different situation.
But that's a different era. You're talking different eras, though.
You're talking different eras, right? Back then, it was like, nobody wants to buy it, so we're going to move, right? If it was now, let's say, look at Montreal Canadiens. Nobody wanted the Canadiens. Nobody. They couldn't find a guy in Canada, so they found a guy, George Gillette, who would keep the team in Montreal. It's a different era.
Let's just say
Edmonton was going to leave today. They're going to leave Edmonton. They'd find a way to keep it in Edmonton.
At the end of the day, yes or no, was it the same situation?
It's not the same situation. It's different. Totally different era.
How long did they wait before they decided in Quebec and in Winnipeg to
different
move the
era,
team before
different
the
era,
how
different
long did
time
it
of the game, different money,
how
different
long,
era.
Pat,
different,
how
I don't
long
know
did it
exactly
take?
How long it took.
Pat?
I don't know exactly how long it
a,
took.
What,
but it
six
was a
months,
different era.
7 months? 8 months?
Different era.
A year?
Okay, let me ask you this. If Calgary was going to run out of money and they were going to have
question
to move. Because I don't know how long. But it was, I said,
I'm
I don't know
you
how long
I'm
it was.
About a year. Within a year, they were gone.
Nobody from Canada wanted to step up and buy the team and put the money in that team, so they left.
Okay.
They didn't leave because the United
nobody
States
in
said,
Canada,
fuck Canada.
Nobody in Canada, in Canada had the money to keep the team in Winnipeg and Colorado, you said.
That's right.
They still haven't found somebody in the U.S. to buy the team in Phoenix. And it's been, 8 years?
I don't get what you're driving on. I really don't.
There is no driving. It's
a
short ride.
This is such a terrible conversation.
You got a guy from Phoenix. Phoenix is a different situation because you got the whole city of Glendale that was going to die.
You're talking millions of jobs. This is a totally different situation in Phoenix, Arizona. Otherwise, they would have went to Winnipeg. It was pretty much done. But the city of Glendale stepped in and said, we cannot lose this team because we're going to kill the jobs in this area. We're going to kill the whole city of Glendale that was built around the arena. All the jobs, the restaurants.
Do you not believe on the same token that when you put a team in, it creates an economic boom? So you're saying there's an economic windfall if you have a National Hockey League team. Are you at least admitting that? That there's an upside economically to having a National Hockey League team? Are you at least admitting that?
Hold on.
It's really quiet. Scott, you haven't answered that question? Is Scott still here?
He checked out.
No.
He's probably checked out.
Yeah, he's checked out.
Yeah,
no.
Well, sure.
But Pat,
this is such terrible conversation. It's such, it's just like pointless. We're not going to agree, Frank. I completely disagree what you think. I have American members that I have to think about. This is such a terrible conversation. I completely disagree with you 1,000%. We will never agree. The NHL is not after anybody. The NHL doesn't want Canada to fail.
They have no responsibility.
I understand. That's how you feel. I understand that's how you feel.
No, it's
but
not
I don't,
how I
it's
feel.
The furthest
no
from
feeling
the truth.
Here. The truth? What truth?
Okay, but can we, like, just not talk about this anymore? This is, like, so terrible. Can we just, like, talk hockey, playoff races, this and that? This
is terrible to talk about.
It's terrible. It's terrible listening. It's terrible talking about it. It's, like, it's repetitive.
Well,
it's the same thing.
You've been doing most of the talking.
Yeah, and it's terrible. It's awful. If I was listening to this, I would have turned it off like a half an hour ago.
Well, then good. It makes my point. It makes my point.
What?
It makes my point.
That it's hard to listen to?
What?
It's not good listening?
Listen,
I
want to
talk
hockey
and playoffs. I don't want to talk about this. I really don't.
Well,
I understand.
But all I'm trying to say, and the only point I was trying to make, is the National Hockey League discriminates against Canadian hockey fans.
Okay.
That's
and
all.
And to me, that makes zero sense.
But it's true.
I totally disagree.
It doesn't have to blow up into anything. I just made simple points, and the simple point is that if a team...
I totally disagree. There's no way you could put it to me that I agree.
I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm just trying to make the simple point that there's different set of rules for who gets a hockey team in North America. If you're on the U.S. side of the border, you don't need any fans. All you need is the owner's belief that they might end up having. Let me finish. Why won't you let me finish? The only reason this is a terrible conversation is because you're not letting me finish what I'm trying to say, and you're fighting tooth and nail to disagree with what I'm saying. I'm not even finished yet. If there's a difference between on each side of the border, to get a hockey team in Canada, it's going to cost you $1 billion to get a hockey team in Canada. In the U.S., to get a hockey team, not only can you get a hockey team, you can even sell your tickets for $20 a piece. You don't have to justify your existence at all, because once the league makes a commitment to the United States, they'll pretend everything's fine for years and say it needs to stay there, and they'll deny that it doesn't belong there. Whereas in Canada, we can't even get a team. Where we deserve a team, where the interest is there that can support a team. And we can support teams so well in Canada that we ship money that's generated by hockey in Canada to the United States. We support hockey here. And what do we get in return? Turn down for teams that we deserve. That's all. I'm not against American hockey fans, because the truth is, American hockey fans don't care where the other teams are from. All they care about is supporting their team. But you know what? Back in the 60s, they had signs in the front of buildings that said, black people go to the washroom in the back. That's discrimination. That's wrong. And this is what the National Hockey League does, is tantamount to that. They discriminate against Canadians. That's what they do. And if you can't handle it, that's fine. If you think it's going to stop you from getting a job, that's fine. But I can say it because it's true. I have proof that they discriminate against Canada. Hamilton sits there with a stadium. And that's it. It didn't have to go on for 4 hours. That's all I wanted to get out. I got it out.
Hamilton, they don't have enough private suites and stuff there, too, to support an NHL team as well. They'd have to improve on that. Listen, I agree that Canada deserves teams.
You know what?
I agree
Let's talk about Hamilton deserves a team. I agree with you on most of the stuff you say.
I agree. I just don't agree that there's anything against Canada discriminatory. That's the difference. I just don't believe in that.
You don't think the National Hockey League could put a team in Timbuktu, Canada, and we would support that team.
I just don't believe it. We could put a team in Yellow Horse, and that team would be full all the time in Canada. I agree. I just don't think that there's anything discriminatory against it. I just think they want to get into the U.S. market because that's where the big money is.
But there isn't big money in the U.S. The U.S. is the minor league.
Yeah, they're trying to beat a dead horse.
United States,
right? They're trying to beat
a
dead horse.
Yes, they're trying to beat
United
a dead
States
horse.
Is not a hockey country.
Yes, I agree with you. They're trying to beat a dead horse, but it's their
so
league,
why do you have
and,
to kill
and
the
they
fans.
Get to choose who. They don't kill no Canadian fans.
Sure they do. Sure they do. Sure they do.
What, fans in Hamilton are not watching hockey now, though? Of course they are.
Okay.
They're not happy
what?
That
you
they don't
what?
Have a team.
What I'm trying to say, as badly as I am saying it, what I'm trying to say is this. It's really simple. Part of the enthusiasm of following a hockey team, for everybody who loves watching hockey or listening to hockey or watching it on TV or whatever, the enthusiasm involved in hockey, a lot of the pleasure is supporting not only the nickname, but also supporting the name of the team, whether it be Toronto, Edmonton, Vancouver, wherever. All right? There are a lot of people who derive a lot of satisfaction of supporting the Toronto team. All right? I am a CFL fan. I have a special disdain for the United States because of the National Hockey League. I have disdain for them because they lack the class to be upfront and honest with Canadian hockey fans and treat us with respect. They don't treat us with respect. When they denied Hamilton a team, and when they deny us the opportunity to have another team to cheer for in our hometown, if I live in Hamilton, my hometown, and we can fill the stadium, and then we watch and see teams like Florida, Phoenix, and we're not allowed to cheer for our home team. Our only option is to drive from Hamilton, which is halfway from me, to drive from Hamilton to go to the Maple Leafs House of Hockey, the ACC, and spend $1,000, $1,200 to go see a game because there is no other option for all these fans. It's not about Toronto fans being bad. It's not about Ontario fans being bad and sucking up to the Maple Leafs. It's because, Pat, it's our only option. If the Rangers suck and you want to go watch the Islanders win the Cup 5 times in a row, they were there. If the Islanders suck, you can go to New Jersey and watch the New Jersey Devils win the Cup. Now, it isn't as exciting as when the Rangers won the Cup, but hockey fans in that community, in that area, which do not number more than Southern Ontario, have 3 hockey teams. They have choices, and they have a way of controlling the cost to go to the hockey game because there's other options. Yep. We're not allowed those options in Canada because the National Hockey League thinks we're second rate, thinks we're not worth having a hockey team. Not because they said it, not because it's a conspiracy, but because they're doing it. It's what they're doing. That's my beef. Now I got my stuff out. We can talk about the playoffs. At the end of the day, it's about discrimination. And discrimination, my friend, you have to really be you really have to have it. Obviously, you've never been discriminated against because you may not understand what it's like to have somebody look at you and say, because of what you look like or because of where you come from, you're less of a person. It's an awful feeling. I lived it. It's an awful feeling. And that's what this is about. I'm Canadian. I love hockey. I want to be able to go watch it. I want to go bring my grandkids to a hockey game. Why should I, unlike New York, New Jersey, be able to have 3 choices which regulate the cost, which keep the cost down a little bit? I hope you don't agree with it. So that makes it more affordable for the ordinary hockey fan to go to a game. Yet I'm doing a show with a guy who wants to perpetuate the $1,600 trip for a dad and 2 kids to a hockey game. Come on, Pat. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Down grassroots, the ordinary hockey fan is being screwed by the National Hockey League by not allowing other teams in this community.
What are we going to do? They're a private organization. They can do whatever the hell they want. Complaining about it doesn't do nothing. That's why I'm trying to build a fan base of the large membership so maybe we could have a voice. Because right now, they don't give a shit about what we have to say. They're going to do whatever they want, whether it's discriminatory or not.
Well, I don't agree. I don't agree that they don't care what we have to say. They care enough to shut us up. And you know what? At the end of the day, Hockey Night in Canada was sold to the National Hockey League, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not.
Hockey Night in Canada was sold to Sportsnet.
Sold to operate. But the National Hockey League, like the Stanley Cup, I lay a dollars to donuts that they've taken over ownership of Hockey Night in Canada. That the National Hockey League decides what goes on in Hockey Night in Canada, not Sportsnet.
I doubt that at $5.6 billion. I doubt that they'll let anybody take a piece of that, NHL or not.
Yeah.
NHL does not hold any of that.
I want to see a hockey team in Hamilton because that would be the team that I would support.
I agree 100%. It would be good for me
too.
I agree. I would love to have that option too, but it's not going
to
happen because they don't want it there.
Well, they can afford it now. I understand what you're saying about 20 years ago. I understand what you're saying about 20, 25 years ago when the Canadian dollar was where it was. But then again, you know, Pat, in life goes in cycles. There are changes. But you can't
sit there
and tell somebody, you can't tell someone like me that because 20 years ago I couldn't grow a beard that I today don't have the right to buy a razor. You know, it just doesn't make sense. You can't go backwards and say.
Life isn't fair, right? That's how I live my own life. Life isn't fair. What are you going to do? We can't do nothing about it. I agree with what you're saying. They should have a team. There's nothing we could do.
What if I promise you I can do something about it? I'm going to do something about it.
I would love to see it. I'm trying to do something about it, right? By trying to build a big, big fan base that the NHL will listen to. But until you have large enough numbers, nobody cares what you have to say, Frank. Nobody cares what anybody has to say unless you can affect their bottom line. Unless you can affect their bottom line, they don't care what you have to say.
What is the bottom line?
Because it's money. Money. It's all money. That's all that the NHL, the owners, Gary Bettman, TSN, CBC, Sportsnet, NBC, that's all they care about. That's all this whole game, this whole scam of the NHL comes down to is money. Who can make the most money? That's all it comes down to.
No, it doesn't.
The fans are secondary, third-dairy, fourth-dairy.
That's not what it comes to. What it's about, you know, Pat, you and I agree, and you would be surprised how much we agree. It doesn't come down to money, making more money. I lived through Harold Ballard. It's not about making more money. Nobody left more money on the table than Harold Ballard. Nobody.
Harold Ballard, because he was a racist and a bigot. Money was secondary to him.
But the point is, Pat, the point I'm trying to make with you is the National Hockey League isn't run to make more money. It's run to make money for certain individuals and protecting the interests of a smaller group within the group. That's what the National Hockey League is about.
The NFL doesn't have to because they have a gigantic television contract that brings the teams, they practically break even before they even step on the field.
But Pat, why did that happen? Do you know why that happened? Do you know the
because
history
Bettman
of the NFL?
Bettman put teams where he shouldn't have. Right? That's why it's happening in the NHL. Bettman put teams where he shouldn't. So now his ego is too big to let him fail.
Let's look at the NFL template. The NFL template
was this.
I'm just going
to
explain
NFL,
it from my perspective. But I'm just going to try and explain